Well, a Sunday school teacher once told the class the story of David and Goliath. He embellished the story a bit with all kinds of details, emphasizing especially David's deep faith in God. He animated with gestures and movements, and he concluded with all the details of how little David killed the giant Goliath with just a rock from his sling. At the end of the story, he asked the class what lesson they had learned. And one of the little boys popped up and said, "Duck." Well, of course, we all know and love the story of David and Goliath. It has an almost fairy tale feel to it. It's one that we tell our children in Sunday school, just like this teacher did. And it's actually probably one of the most popular stories in all of the Bible among church people and non-church people alike. But there's a lot more to this story. First, I want to give you just a brief history. After David was anointed as Israel's next king, he basically goes back to his day job, caring for and protecting his sheep. Well, in the meantime, Israel is engaged in a war with the neighboring Philistines. And our scripture picks up at a time when there appears to be sort of a stalemate in the war. Nothing much is happening. Now, because David was small and still considered a child, his role in the war with the Philistines was to carry his big brother's lunchboxes. That was his whole purpose for being on the front lines. It was to bring his brothers food. But while he was there, a Philistine soldier named Goliath comes down the mountain and begins to taunt the Israelite army. For 40 days, Goliath had been shouting challenges and insults, and the Israelites had just cringed in fear. And for good reason. I mean, he stood 10 feet tall and wore armor that weighed 150 pounds alone. The head of his spear weighed nearly 20 pounds just by itself. He had an almost hilariously unfair advantage in both size and armor. And Israel had no one who could begin to match up to him physically. Everyone knew how this was going to turn out, and it did not look pretty for Israel. Goliath is big, he's powerful, he's fierce, and he's armed to the teeth. But David, he didn't care about all of that. He didn't care because he could not just stand by while Goliath mocked Israel's God. And so he volunteered to take on Goliath in a one-on-one battle. But rather than using strategy or military strength, David took a different approach. Because for David, this battle was a spiritual matter. And so he rejects any armor or any weapons beyond his slingshot. And he walks down the mountain with just 5 smooth stones and his confidence in God's protection. And then it begins. David moves quickly, he runs, he slings a stone, and Goliath doesn't have a chance to duck. And down he comes. The fight was over almost before it got started. Now this story, the one of David and Goliath, it is full of excitement and tension and also conflict. It is not for the faint of heart. But we love it, right? We love it because we can all identify with David. At one time or another in our lives, we've all felt small. And when we go to the movies or when we watch a football game in particular, maybe not when we're rooting for Ohio State per se, but we often like to root for the underdog. Yes, that's right, go Bucks. But we do still, even when we root for the Buckeyes, we do still feel that pull of righteous conviction to stand up for the team that's considered second best. And the best example I have is one time when I experienced this level of excitement. It was last spring with my niece's little country school called Chamoy in the middle of nowhere, Missouri. Now, this school only has about 70 students in the entire high school, so it's small. But this past spring, the boys' basketball team made it to the Missouri State Final Four tournament, and that was the very first time in school history. But before they could get there, they had to face a team that had beaten them earlier in the season. As a smaller, less talented team, they had surprised everyone by even making it to this point. But leading up to this particular game, I couldn't help but get excited for them. The game itself was actually a real nail biter. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time, sitting in my living room, staring at my phone, waiting for my sister-in-law to give me an update on the score. Even my parents, who live here in Columbus, they were also constantly watching for updates. And so this little school in nowhere, Missouri, had someone in Ohio and Iowa rooting them on. And the game came down to the very last milliseconds. Chamoy was down by 2 and had one last chance with the ball before the game ended. One of the seniors took a risk and went for a 3-pointer. The Chamoy fans erupted with cheers when the ball swooshed through the hoop, giving them a 1-point lead and the win. When that senior was later interviewed, because of course he had become a bit of a hero among the Chamoy folks, he told the reporter that he just knew he could do it. Now, doesn't that make you feel great to hear that kind of story? I still get a little bit of goosebumps when I tell it. I enjoy telling that story, but it makes us feel good when teams like this, like Chamoy, face a bigger opponent and win. In those last seconds of that game, that senior took a big risk, confident that he had everything that he needed. He was not so different than David. Now, of course, most of us don't encounter real giants in our lives, but Goliath is really just a symbol for anything that is fierce and intimidating. Goliaths come in all shapes and sizes: a bad marriage, addiction, disease and illness, the loss of a loved one, institutional greed and the fight for power, and the mistreatment of creation, and prejudice of all sorts, those that divide us politically, economically, racially. There is no denying that there has been a lot of hurt in our country and in our world lately. Our problems and the world's issues, it can feel like huge obstacles, unbeatable, insurmountable, and impossible. And we can become overwhelmed by all the news, the daily tragedies, the world's violence. It can leave us feeling helpless. And so against all of this, we feel like tiny Davids. But David knew an important truth about God that gave him courage: that God is always present with God's people. So this is not so much a story about David, the underdog, beating the bigger, badder Goliath, but about David's trust in God. When we come face to face with Goliath, it can be difficult to let go of the fear that we are somehow not good enough, not strong enough, not brave enough. But David had something that Goliath didn't. David believed that his God had given him all that he needed. He didn't need the armor of Saul. That wasn't who he was. When I think about real life Davids, the person that comes to mind is the young girl Malala. Do you remember her story? It's been a while since she has been kind of in the news, but A few years ago, there was a documentary about her courage, her survival, and her triumph over the adversity in her life. Growing up in a family who encouraged education, Malala believed that she and every girl deserved the right to learn. And at only 12 years old, she wrote a blog under a pseudonym for the BBC detailing her life under Taliban occupation, their attempts to control the valley, and her views on promoting education for girls. On the afternoon of October 9th, 2012, Malala boarded her school bus in the northwest Pakistani district of Swat, just like any other day. Except this time, a gunman entered and asked for her by name and then attempted to assassinate her. Now, we, of course, know that she survived that attack. And although she's left with many scars, Malala continues to have hope and to be a global voice for education rights for all children. In December of 2014, she became the youngest ever recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. Isn't that amazing? She, like David, isn't fighting with swords or spears. Rather, she's using her gifts to speak out and fight against the institutional Goliath in her country through awareness and education. We often think that the story ends after David takes down Goliath. But if we go on to read the rest of the chapter, we'll learn that this was only the first Goliath that David faced. He goes on to fight three more giants that come against the Israelites. Like David's story and Malala's story, the fighting doesn't end. So it's not about if we are going to face them. Rather, it's how we are going to respond when we do. So as we stand up to the Goliaths in this country and in our own lives, we could put on the armor of Saul and fight Goliath with Goliath's weapons. We could do that. But instead, God calls us to take off all that heavy armor and put on a different kind of armor, the armor of God. I like how Eugene Peterson paraphrases the chapter in Ephesians chapter 4. And he says this: be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help that you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. So pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Sometimes the hardest battle that we face is the one inside of us, telling us that we're too weak, too insignificant, too scared to hang in there. That's why in the story of David and Goliath and in Ephesians, we are called to actually put down our swords and create a world where all people feel safe, valued, believed, and respected. Just like God gave Goliath everything that he needed to defeat the Philistines, just like Malala, who had the voice to fight the Taliban, God has equipped us as well with what we need to face those Goliaths. So we don't need to try and be someone that we're not, to put on armor that doesn't fit. All we need to do is to discover and to use those gifts that God has given us and trust that God is present. One of the cornerstones of the Reformed faith is that God is firmly in charge, and that God gives us the faith to face any situation. And God calls all kinds of people to the work of defeating injustice and oppression. Shepherd boys, Pakistan girls, teachers, engineers, social workers, nurses, preachers, young people, retired people, men, women, Democrat, Republican, rich, poor. We can all do a whole lot more than we give ourselves credit for. And let me tell you, courage, the kind that Malala had, the kind that David demonstrates here against Goliath, it's contagious. It's something that we can pass on to others. We start today with the commitment of our lives and our pledges to give bravely and courageously so that we can face the giant needs before us as a church and as a world. God did not come to us in Jesus so that we don't have any Goliaths to face. But God does promise to go with us as we face them. That is the good news. Our God is bigger than our deepest fears and bigger than our biggest Goliaths. So let's put on the armor of God: truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation, and face the Goliaths of this world. So may it be for you and me. Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.